Welcome to the UN podcast. It's about you. This is your host, Caitlin DeBeer. I'm a life coach, speaker, psychology lecturer, and a mum of two littles. And I'm here to inspire you with self-management tips, secrets, interviews, and tricks around loving yourself, loving your life, yep, even the mums, and ultimately to motivate you to want to wake up every morning and live your beautiful life. Over to today's episode. Hi everyone, welcome to episode 15. Today's topic is all about relationships, and you'll know if you know me, if you listen to my podcast even, that I really am an open book. I try not to put on a show for anyone, and I really try to be as honest as I can be. And about a year ago, maybe not even, I wrote a blog post which I titled, "If We Were Dating, We Would Have Broken Up." And I came across it this morning when I was prepping for a podcast episode, and I actually decided that I'm going to scrap what I was going to prep, and instead I'm going to create a podcast episode based on the article, the blog post that I had written. So here goes. I hope you enjoy it. I hope that it brings some light into the fact that we all struggle with relationships, and that kids change the whole dynamic, and what H and I have done to try our best to make this work. Hope you enjoy it, guys. So when I wrote the podcast, when I wrote the blog post, I literally sobbed through the whole thing. I think firstly, because I knew how far H and I had actually come. Secondly, because I knew how easy it was to go back there to the struggles in marriage. And thirdly, because I knew with all that I am, that had we not addressed things quickly, this would never be happening right now. We wouldn't still be together. I'm going to backtrack a bit. So I was 2 months pregnant with Noah. I had undergone surgery a week before. I was back home. I had a catheter in at home. I had recently been told by a second gynae that we were going to lose our baby that I was pregnant with. Sarah was one on the dot. She woke countless times a night, and she just started walking. So we were in that like 4 every 5 minutes kind of stage. I'd also just started designing my new company, Flourishing Fit Moms, at the time. I was prepping varsity lectures for the year. There was so much going on. And I remember sitting on the couch with a friend, as graciously as one can with a catheter hanging out of you. Quite literally, I had a little Tupperware. I announced to her that if H and I were dating now, that we'd break up. But we weren't. We were married. And that made all the difference. Guys, marriage is hard work. And I think you add kids to the mix, and it literally becomes like doing like a 1,000-piece puzzle with gloves on. Like playing that old chocolate game we used to play with, like, when we were kids. You know, when you have gloves on and you're trying to cut chocolate. We all seem, I think, pretty comfortable with the idea that in life we progress, that we change, that we evolve, and that, yeah, like everything changes as you become a mom. And yet for marriage, we just have this like natural expectation for it to work. I think we stand there on the altar and we say these drastic vows that we truly believe in the moment will be so easy to keep. But we forget that as life goes on, that we do change, and that the person you're with changes too. For us, I got married when I was 22, so very young. H was in his late 20s. He's 7 years older than me. I was at the time completing my honours in clinical psychology. I was living in a digs with my best friends in a beautiful town in Stellenbosch. It was literally like rainbows and butterflies. H and I would dance under the stars, we held hands, we spun round and round till we fell over, we would just do the most divine things, go on runs on wine farms. We were young and free and happy. And in that stage of life, we totally worked. But fast forward 6 to 8 years, and here we were as parents. We were both business owners, we were homeowners. We were a parent to one, and one that I was pregnant with that we didn't know if it was going to survive. And our stress levels were seriously like unrealistically high. which I suppose is normal for young adults with kids. Amidst this, there was so much chaos because we weren't sleeping and, yeah, we were stressed and we'd literally forgotten how to be together. We'd forgotten how we worked. Life had literally become about surviving and serving my needs, and H would serve his needs. Not in a physical way, that sounds so bad. Not in that sense, but in serving your needs as in like what I need to do today to get through the day. So like, you know, work, ask for help with this, do that, get home, have a shower, you know, and just get on with me and my life and him with his life. It wasn't all bad. It's not like we were depressed or something. And I don't even think that we were fighting that much. We were just so disconnected. And I think we're both just so caught up in playing all these different roles that we're now required of us, but forgetting the role of husband and wife, of what we'd bought into. We were like mum, dad, boss, employee, runner, cell group leader, pregnant. We just ended up living past each other. And when we did interact, we were so flippin' exhausted that often it would become this heated argument. I took one massive argument one day that landed us both in tears. And it was so good. It was so good to have an argument like this where we actually got to pause and say, like, is this okay? Is this really what we want for our lives? We admitted to each other that we were absolutely nowhere. And in marriage, I think that means one thing. You're either going to call it quits and grow in different directions, which happens. Or we had to face and ask ourselves that question, were we still right for each other? You know, that promise that we made on the 3rd of March 2012, did that still stand? Would we still choose love, even when the person was unlovable? I think having kids, it didn't just change us, it changed our marriage too. And up until that time, we hadn't admitted it properly. But it was time that we did. It was time that we actually faced the facts. I think in an attempt to not complain about having kids, often we brush off the marriage part, you know, so we don't want to complain like kids have robbed, you know, from our marriage or something. And so instead we often almost pretend that's not happening. But for us, this conversation opened up a new can of worms for us too, in that it allowed us space to dream and to rediscover a love for each other and a respect for each other in this new role as parents and what it could look like for us to actually work. So I'm going to go through three things that we did that helped us actually move forward from this place. So the first thing was we packed our bags. Okay, but not in that way. So we just realized that we needed to get out of our routine, out of our space, out of our sort of stuckness. Every April we head to Cape Town for the Two Oceans. We had lived there for a long time, and so oceans is always like a big part of our year, although we didn't go this year, but usually. And so we went off to Cape Town. I wasn't running, but H was. Sarah was a year, obviously I was pregnant. I was still pregnant, so I was 20 weeks by that stage, or 22 weeks. And after oceans, we usually go up to his parents up the west coast of Cape Town, and spend like a week with them and then come home. And we just made the call at that time to prioritize us. And so we called in family requests, as one does. My brother's fiance's family have a family home there. And we asked if we could go and stay. And it was honestly such a game changer for us. We still remember that holiday, and we go away a lot, but that holiday was just bliss. We so badly needed to get out of our routine, to get out of our stuckness, to get away from work. Sarah was with us, so it wasn't like we'd left the kids. Obviously, Noah was still in my belly. By that stage, pregnancy was relatively comfortable. But we just had the best time, and we only went for about, I think it was probably 3 nights, maybe 4 days. But it was exactly what we needed in order to fall in love with each other again and be reminded what it is that we love about each other. We did like beach every morning. We'd go home, Sarah would have a nap, we'd lie on the grass outside together and just laugh, and it was just safe, and we got to reconnect. We slowed down, and I think that's such a big part of reconnecting again, is getting out of the rut and slowing down and doing things that you did together before kids. The second thing we did is we became happy people to live with. So while we were both pursuing our careers and exercise goals, neither of us was in a particularly happy space. I think H would get home from gym every day, and he'd come home to this irritable wife. And likewise, he'd complain when I worked over the weekends, which I often did. I think in our attempt to sort of build together, we chatted realistically about what it would mean to each be happy. So this wasn't about like us as a unit. This was more about us as individuals. I think two happy people are far more likely to make a happy marriage. So literally based on that, H signed up for a whole lot of races in the year that that he felt, you know, could be fun goals to work towards and things that he loved. I launched this new company, which I love work. It sounds so ridiculous, but I do. I love work. I love building things. I'm a real like starter. So I was doing that, and we both decided that we'd encourage each other on these journeys. And we actually borrowed this sort of mantra from one of my best friends, her parents had a really strong marriage, and she now has a really strong marriage. And she grew up with this saying in their home where they said, be a happy person to live with. And I just love that. So like, be as in like, it's your responsibility, like you need to be the happy person. And not trying to be unrealistic, obviously we have bad days, not saying that at all, we have bad months, I have plenty. But just that concerted effort to, when working on your marriage, is to actually put effort into you and into your happiness levels. So I think that was a big turning point for us as well, was this challenge to challenge each other to live happy and to make the changes that we needed to in order to be happy individuals. And then the last one, the third thing that we did, was we embraced that we're a team. So I think, you know, it's often easier to back yourself, and in backing yourself, you often become almost like oppositions. And with parenting, there's so much blame. You did that, you know, you didn't help with this, that's why I'm feeling this. And everything becomes about blame, 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 protect me, you know, elevate me. And we decided that it would actually be more beneficial for our marriage if we started becoming us over I. And it sounds like a small decision, I know, but it had so many big ripple effects. So it meant like saying goodbye to like bitching to friends about each other, which is so easy. And I'm not saying don't bitch to your friends. Sometimes we all need a good bitch, or complaint or vent, but not to the whole world. The whole world doesn't need to know. And what happens, I think, often is that when we talk, it gets fueled and might become a bigger thing, you know, than it actually is. It also meant not complaining and not criticizing each other all the time. And I know I'm very quick to be critical, and this has meant sort of holding back and trying to bite my tongue when that needs to come up in an attempt to invest in us rather than just in me. So those are my three pointers, guys, of what we did. So number one, we packed our bags. Number two, we became happy people to live with. And number three, we embraced that we're a team. And when I wrote the blog post about a year ago, I can't remember the date exactly, I got such a beautiful response. And I don't try and put on the show that we've got this perfect marriage. We in no way do. We fight plenty, H and I. We are so different in so many ways. We've been raised very differently. So we have challenges all the time, as do you, I'm sure. But for me, I think one of the things that I've really bought into is that marriage is a journey. And I know, as I've spoken to a lot of my friends where I think their parents have really good, healthy relationships, so many of them have said, no, but you should ask my mum. Like in their 20s, you know, they didn't speak to each other for like months on end. Or in their 30s, my dad did this. Or in, you know, like there's always some story. And marriage isn't some quick fix. As I said earlier, I'm such a believer that we evolve in life, that we change. And that means that the person that you married is not going to be the same person that you're with in 10 years time, 20 years time. And so we do have to make this concerted effort to still love that person and to choose love and to choose us, and to make that work, whatever that means for you. And I'm not saying, you know, if you're in an unhappy marriage or a really unhappy space, then you need to make that call for yourself. But for us, it was so worth not using our kids or this really difficult stage of life that we were in to rob from who we were as a couple, and a couple that does actually work. I know those were the three pointers that I made a year ago. Fast forward 6 months and we still weren't sleeping, but not 6 months. I mean, like even a year. And things were just really, really hard at home, especially just stress and sleep. And so my brother, I think I said this in another podcast episode, but my brother went on a trip to Turkey, and he got back and the pictures were just amazing. And he told me what they spent, and I was horrified, like how little it was. And so I said to H, let's go. And H was like, you're mad, babe. We don't have the money for it right now. Like, you guys know the drill, nappies, clothes for kids, schools, whatever. And so I said, you know, I've got a bit of savings myself. And anyway, he wasn't thrilled, but I booked the tickets. And I can't remember how it worked. I think he put in a bit and I put in a bit or whatever it was, but we booked. And the flights itself weren't too expensive. And so we booked the flights, but we were going in like a month or two's time. So we had no time to save money. So I took a loan. This was last September. And I then lectured for that whole semester, so two terms, and all the money that I got from lecturing, I deposited straight back into the loan account and managed to pay off the trip. It wasn't an expensive trip. We went for 7 days without our kids, but it was honestly one of the best things we could have done for us. And I'm not saying everyone needs to go traveling. Gracious, I think we all wish we could, but it's not that. It's that H and I had traveled a lot before together. You know, we spent time even living abroad together and traveled like mad. And so for us, being abroad and together and adventuring, which is what we love, brought back the sort of excitement as to why we are together and what we love about each other and how well we work on trips like that, where we don't fight. We just click and we wake up and we both want to do the same thing, and it just all makes sense. And we needed that reminder. We came back from that trip literally in such a different space. And my encouragement, I suppose, just as I end this podcast, is every time that marriage does get hard, I think number one, try and diagnose what it is that's making it hard. And if it is a stage of life, that stage will pass. So be careful not to make, I know in general they say this, be careful not to make big decisions when you're in a difficult space, which with young kids, there's no doubt. Gracious, I think the whole of parenthood. But young kids, there's no doubt it's a difficult space. So give yourselves grace in that. My other encouragement would be just try and remind each other why you're together. You know, what is it that worked when you actually signed up for this whole thing? And try and do more of that, or add more of that to your lives. And it means, if it means, you know, calling a babysitter in once a month and it costs extra, who cares, guys? Eat egg on toast for 3 nights. Do it. I promise that little reminder, that little spark, and reigniting that spark can be so powerful for your relationship. And in turn, it affects your kids, which we all know. An unhappy marriage definitely affects the kids, and we've seen it. Gracious, Sarah picks up so quickly now when we, you know, offish or fighting with each other. Not going to pretend that everything's perfect on our side. It definitely isn't. It's always a work in progress. And I just hope that this encouraged you in some way and gives you some ideas as to the work that one can put into something like a marriage and trying to fight for things that count in our lives, if it is something that you feel is worth fighting for. Love to everyone, guys. Thanks for listening. This episode has ended. I hope that you enjoyed it. I loved actually just sharing this, and it reminded me again why I love my husband, which is good to speak about. Guys, please go on over to iTunes and rate my podcast. I'd so appreciate that. You can leave a comment. It would make so much difference in my podcast channel exposure to the world. So please go and do that. Otherwise, have a stunning week, a stunning day. And I hope that you're in a happy space.